From Inner Systems, it's the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
Vicente Resto, the chief physician executive for the faculty group practice at UTMB, the University of Texas Medical Branch, and the senior vice president for health system ambulatory operations and surgical services. Vicente, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Jordan.
So, for those who don't know, UTMB Health is headquartered in Galveston, Texas, and has six hospitals with 1,600 beds staffed by 1,000 providers. Today, we're going to be discussing a whole data approach to proactive care, a homegrown model, and interoperability at scale. So I'd like to kick it off, Vicente, by asking you to describe your whole data approach to proactive patient care management and preventive care.
Well, thanks again, Jordan. Happy to share some of our thoughts here. Clearly, data is rapidly becoming, you know, a fundamental piece, you know, of most, you know, economic activities, but also clinical care activities, you know, in academic medical centers like ours. Where we have tapped into data has been starting out with really Epic implementation and all the layers that they continue to develop. But alongside that, UTMB has been very involved in de novo development of data management tools that help, you know, interface with Epic and extract information from it, as well as other sources such as, you know, some of our revenue cycle related claims data sources and the like, to bring in together and try to develop, you know, models not only to understand where patients are and what they have been doing, but we've done some work internally to develop, you know, predictive models to help us understand what they will be doing. Now, that's come to the forefront perhaps more globally as AI has come to the forefront, because that's the fundamental piece there. But we've been doing it for some time.
I see. And so you've been developing predictive models to determine what patients are going to be doing. Can you speak to how you're able to develop these models? You said that there are different data sources. Some are homegrown, some are claims data, some is revenue cycle. Are you building on top of an open source platform? Do you have a proprietary LLM? What are you doing right now to develop your predictive models to better manage those at-risk patients?
So UTMB has been a strong collaborator with large entities like Microsoft for a number of years, as well as others such as Epic. And through that, you know, set of interfaces, we have developed small and yet ever-increasing projects, the most recent of which was a formalization of a relationship with Microsoft, where we are wholeheartedly transitioning the majority of our data up to the cloud as a way to do several things for us. It's now a place where it's multifaceted in how people can interface with it. But just as important, you know, when you live in a barrier island off the Gulf of Mexico, America, you know, we're kind of working on that. The risk of damage, you know, is real. And we have been for many years managing ourselves, you know, through backup data centers. But, you know, moving to the cloud is just really the ultimate security from that physical brick and mortar damage potential. You know, having it there and really managing it through, you know, a data lake, you know, kind of functionality, we're really trying to, you know, sort of clean up the data, you know, to the degree that all of our mission areas can tap into it. Research, you know, education, but I go back to the premise of our discussion, clinical care. So we use that information, you know, with regression analyses, you know, type technology to help us with some predictive models. More recently, you know, as I touched on, we have had significant investments in the organization and de novo large language model development, you know, and so on and so forth, to help us, you know, dive into clinical work as much as, you know, more research related work.
You've mentioned your work on de novo applications a few times. I believe one of them is referred to as Power. It's a homegrown provider management functionality used to manage contracts, where providers can model their own activities and see how it impacts compensation. You mentioned you've been working on rev cycle management as well. Would you tell us about what's going on with Power, its genesis, and its impact?
Yes, Power is very much an example of a homegrown functionality that we've worked now for really about 10 years, you know, with ever-increasing iterations and improvements. The most recent of which is really AI-powered My Power. It's an alliteration, but that's a system that we use for mostly faculty management. And when I mean faculty management, we track contracts, yearly contracts, a memorandum of appointments, we call them. We track, you know, the faculty effort, you know, assignment that we give. Remember, we're an academic organization with multi-missions, so any one person can have a multitude of different activities and different missions. So we track, you know, the time allocation and effort allocation to each. That translates further into salaries. We tend to compensate with variable at-risk arms to help, you know, align activities, you know, with the organization's needs. And all of these, as you may imagine, you know, they're very fluid. You know, so not only does our Power system help us track, you know, the logistics, but it helps us also understand what past performance is and help each faculty member tap into their own formula and help themselves, you know, with understanding, okay, if I vary my activity in this way, you know, how would it affect my predicted compensation and so on and so forth. So it's been well received, certainly by the administrative side, because it helps us organize ourselves and helps us predict, you know, in ways that, you know, really are fundamental for budgeting and predicting performance. But each faculty member, you know, many of them have also enjoyed their ability to personally predict and understand, you know, what their performance will translate to in terms of compensation.
So I see that you're leveraging Power to affect provider behavior in order to maximize their compensation plan from their perspective and from your perspective to align their efforts with organizational goals. I'd like to ask if you use Power or any other tools to influence provider behavior to manage value-based care, especially with chronic disease management, in order to better handle population health at UTMB.
Absolutely. Yes, we do. And generally speaking, for that, you know, we have analytics groups within our population health areas that build de novo apps within Power BI. Power BI is really the fundamental engine that they utilize to then tap into the number of different databases to help, you know, bring in that information and bring it to life. You know, in the back end, they're looking at things like claims databases. They're looking at our own Epic models. You know, at times we are able to collaborate with some of our sister institutions in the larger University of Texas system, you know, all to bring together what is happening in the market. All of that, you know, helps us frame really scorecards that are now highly edited and integrative that we can share with our frontline, you know, physicians and providers at large and help them align with the activities that we need them to help us deliver, such as annual wellness visits that are so critical to capturing complexity every given year, you know, sort of HCCs or comorbidity indices and lists. Once again, it's about the risk assessment that is so critical to understanding, you know, with the baseline you're going to work against in value-based care, oftentimes with consequent results around potential compensation pools for the organization, you know, at large. So yeah, I would say that we're certainly quite data-driven there.
So you mentioned that you collaborate with the larger UT health system. I spoke at the beginning of this podcast about how we're going to be discussing interoperability at scale. You have many different data sources. You mentioned revenue cycle data sources, analytics, Power BI, Epic, and I'm sure there are myriad more data sources. How does UTMB work to maximize interoperability at scale and, for example, access and access records outside of UTMB with the larger UT health system and incorporate those into patient care?
Well, to be candid, I'm going to say with great difficulty and effort, just to be as an answer. But yes, we do. That part, to be practical, it's been mostly driven by Epic as an integrative force. You know, things like or capabilities like Care Everywhere, you know, that Epic has enabled, allow us not only to share with our sister organizations, but just our colleagues in our market. You know, where we have the Houston metropolitan market is quite large and populated by quite a few players. Thankfully, many of them have Epic as their fundamental platform, which allows Care Everywhere to be functional. And all of us understanding what a patient's journey has been in a way that helps us, you know, promote best care around what we deliver. But there's certainly other, you know, activities that we have engaged that are much more in initial phases of development. And this goes back just to the fundamental philosophy that we are a very large system when you assess all of our health-related institutions, which traditionally have functioned quite independently. You know, it's most folks would define us as a loosely associated federation of independents. but the power, you know, of integration is clear. Some others in the market are clearly showing us, you know, in real life, you know, what that kind of scale can sort of help bring forth, not only in terms of power of understanding, but importantly, in ways of promoting health, you know, by unified, you know, processes and protocols of care, but also importantly, to lower the cost of care delivery. So what does it take to do this? Well, again, you have to work through politics, you know, and you have to come to alignment, but ultimately you end up in the technical piece. And I'll give you an example. One of the things that we have been trying to promote is really a way to come together as a fluid, you know, sort of group of confederates around, say, radiology reads, you know, and where we can flex, you know, where we may have, you know, short staff or perhaps, you know, a long queue, you know, of reads waiting to be finalized that we could potentially, in theory, as a collective, we could tap into some of our colleagues, you know, many of whom, you know, are also academic, function in a similar set of, you know, quality sort of benchmarks and expectations. And we can sort of be more fluid there. Why has it not happened to date? Technology. I mean, that's when you have fundamental discussions about connectivity. You have fundamental discussions about what systems, you know, do you use to archive your images or to read, have your reads? How does that, you know, particular software or platform interface with the revenue cycle piece that's so critical to generate, you know, the payment associated with those activities? So as it turns out, you know, most of us use different systems. And even when we don't use different systems, I'll go back to Epic as a point here. I mean, there's no two Epic deployments that oftentimes are the same. They're really customizations. So we're kind of at that stage where we're, you know, getting over the inertia, you know, to understand what the value proposition could look like. And there's some difficult, you know, but important discussions around, okay, how are we going to approach, you know, this bringing together our technical part, our capabilities and platforms so that we kind of unify there and thus promote then the soft activities such as reading and the like. And that's active, you know, work going on right now.
I'd like to delve deeper into that. So you did talk about interoperability externally to UTMB. You spoke about leveraging Epic and Epic's Care Everywhere in order to bring in CCDs from other institutions, particularly in the Houston area. But internally within UTMB, you also spoke about how in radiology, there's a lot of challenges with reconcile different data sources and clinical data archives and different reads and revenue cycle management. So I think our listeners would love to hear more about how, because they're facing similar challenges. So how do you approach a strategy to unify many different data source platforms internally at UTMB?
Well, just to be clear, what I was touching on prior to, as you described, is really not an issue within UTMB. I think we've done quite a good job within our own organization. And I'll touch on, you know, that's what you're getting at. those challenges about bringing those platforms together. I was really referring to the capabilities of really coming together and gelling as a larger University of Texas system. You know, that's when you essentially talk about UTMB, but you also talk about University of Texas Health Science Center in San Antonio, University of Texas Health Science Center in Houston, you know, MD Anderson, University of Texas Southwestern. I mean, you're now in each of those situations talking about very large organizations. Some of them, such as ours, a system within a system. And how is it that you bring that scale together? That's the part that takes an enormity of intention, you know, but, you know, that has to be fueled by just some commonality of thought and commonality of purpose, which I think, you know, we're getting to. Much more work to be done. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so you're the Senior Vice President for Health System Ambulatory Operations and Surgical Services at UTMB Health. Obviously, you have counterparts at all the other UTs that you mentioned across the state of Texas. How is it that you're able to meet the needs of your many different service lines, of your ambulatory operations, when you have patients cycling between those different UT sites? Is that the challenge, or what is the biggest challenge, and what is the best path towards collaboration with your peers in order to better serve patients in Texas?
Well, I would say quickly again, the path is not always clear, for sure. So, I don't know about clarity. I go back to, you know, it all starts with an idea. It all starts with painting a vision of what it could look like, you know, and that's where the problem starts, so to speak. I think like-minded individuals who bring in collaborative frameworks, you know, such as the system itself works hard to develop amongst all of us, is really the starting point. But in the end, you know, it's all, you know, going to come down to how is it that we can iron out, you know, some differences, and importantly, understand how a collective actually will bring value, not only to the collective, but to each individual. You know, and that's maybe the hardest part of how to think through some of these problems.
That is the challenge of a federated system. Why should all 13 colonies join together into one United States? We are approaching the end of this podcast episode, so I'd like to pose a final question to you. I'd like you to speak directly to our listeners about one kind of, if you had a magic lamp, as it were, and you could make a wish about one data challenge that you wish could just be resolved. What would you what would you like to see? What kind of biggest challenge are you facing that you're going to try to resolve? And maybe additionally, if you like, what piece of advice would you give yourself a year or two ago in facing the data challenges that you faced back in 2023?
I think, you know, the thing that comes to the forefront to me is security. Cybersecurity is such a real thing. Everybody, you know, increasingly lives in an environment where, you know, a significant amount of our IT investment has to be, you know, applied in that space, because failing to do so and having to deal with a true, you know, ransomware type intervention event is a real problem. And we've seen it, you know, most recently, not so much in a given health system, although there's plenty of examples of this, but really more fundamental to our system in one of our exchanges, you know, Change Healthcare, where it manages ours and so many other claims. I mean, they were the target of such an attack, and it was crippling, not only to them as a singular organization, but it had ripple effects that certainly were felt here. And not just, you know, bad actors evolve their capabilities almost as fast as everybody else does. So that certainly, you know, keeps me up at night. Yeah, that has to be tops for sure. What I would do today that's different from, say, 2 years ago. I would have to go further back, you know, because I've always been very data oriented. I mean, the other part we're not discussing about here is I'm a surgeon scientist by training, and certainly by much of my first part of my career. So in a way, I have learned to manage, you know, fundamentally as I do science, you know, and that's, you know, with experiments, with hypotheses, with data collection, with data review and conclusion drawing. And that in the business world, you know, is you have a problem and then you forge, you know, an idea that you transition into a pilot and then you develop KPIs, which you collect and then you analyze and then you hardwire something that worked and something that didn't. That's just a parallel process to research. And so the idea that data is going to have value and provide insight, it's always been a part of my approach to work. And I think just the environment in our industry and you know, just really IT as a whole, you know, we've seen it just flourish in such obvious ways across our lives. And then you bring it into our industry, it's just validated in so many ways. Maybe I would have thought, you know, move faster, you know. So, but there's always layers to that.
All right, Vicente. Well, we've covered a lot of ground today. We spoke about a whole data approach to proactive patient care management, some homegrown models of provider data management that you developed with rev cycle management, working with interoperability at scale external to the organization. We spoke about drilling into radiology as a specific service line where there's value in providing interoperability of data. And then we've emphasized cybersecurity and made a parallel between research and data management and making data-driven decisions. So I think that will resonate well with our listeners. So Vicente, I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Jordan. It's been a pleasure.
For our listeners, this has been Vicente Resto, the SVP for Health System Ambulatory Operations and Surgical Services and the Chief Physician Executive for the Faculty Group Practice at the University of Texas Medical Branch Health in Galveston, Texas. Take care, Vicente.
Thank you, Jordan, again.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.